The State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting for April 24th, 2019 will now come to order. Director, will you please note the roll?
Yes. Board Member Zimmerman.
I'm present.
Board Member Lahavi.
Here.
Board Member Williams.
Present.
Board Member Hayden.
Present.
Secretary Fontes.
Present.
Chairperson Fitzgerald.
Present.
All right. All are present. We have a quorum to do business.
All right. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Acupuncture Board of Examiners meeting. If anyone wants to address an issue that's not on the agenda, or you'd like to speak regarding a non-agenda item, speaker request forms are available from the director. I think they're back there, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the
they're in the back, yeah. In the podium. So please complete the speaker request form and submit it to the director. The first item on the agenda is declarations of conflict of interest. Any conflicts of interest to this time?
Yes, I am on the agenda for a regular acupuncture.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'll note it.
All right, so we've noted that conflict of interest. The next item on the agenda then is the review, discussion, and approval of the March 27th, 2019 regular session meeting minutes. Is there any discussion? Anyone see anything that needs fixing? All right. Is there a motion to approve the regular session minutes?
Make a motion to approve the regular session minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
A second.
Oh, man. Okay. Motion by Board Member Williams and seconded by Board Member...
Lahavi.
Say it one more time.
Lahavi.
Lahavi. Thank you. That's the one I have a hard time with. Lahavi, to approve the March 27th, 2019 minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. The vote passes unanimously. Director, record the vote. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and approval. Oh, no, we didn't have executive session minutes, did we?
No.
No, so we don't need to approve those. Okay, we'll skip to the good stuff. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding applications for licensure. Director Jerminski?
Absolutely. And as per our pattern we set the last meeting, we'll do several of them in one vote, if that's okay with you.
Perfect.
There are a couple of individuals on the agenda that we'll have to take separately so that the board can have more discussion about those items. Okay, so, and I'll just read out from our chart here. The first individual is Jennifer Aquilina, who has taken and passed the Clinical Techniques course, has passed the 4-point location Foundations of Oriental Medicine, Biomedicine, Acupuncture modules from NCCAOM, has more than enough clinical and didactic hours from an approved school, has other licenses in other states. We've received those verifications of licensure, and there was no derogatory information revealed for that individual. Jeanette Campbell, passed her CNT, has passed also the 4 modules, graduated from Pima and has more than enough clinical and didactic hours, has prior licensure in Arizona as a massage therapist, but there was no derogatory information on that. We have Talib Shorts, who has taken and passed CNT, has passed the 4 modules from the NCCAOM, has again more than enough clinical and didactic hours to meet the requirement, has a previous license in New York with no derogatory information. Susanna Riz Benoli has passed her CNT, has taken and passed 4 modules from the NCCAOM, also has more than enough clinical and didactic hours, and has no negative information in her history. She's actually a reapplicant from licensure, having previously held license here in Arizona. And Carol Kessler has taken and passed her CNT, has taken the 4 NCCAOM modules and passed them, has more, is this correct, this number correct for the clinical? Emma?
No, it's supposed to be 9.
It's supposed to be 9?
Yes.
Okay. Can you check it in her transcript real quick?
Yeah.
Let's move to the next person. Sarah Hansen has taken and passed her CNT, has passed the 4 NCCAOM modules, and does have more than enough clinical and didactic hours to meet the requirement from an approved school of acupuncture. She just has 2 prior licenses with no derogatory information noted, and so our recommendation is to approve all those individuals once we clarify the amount of clinical hours for Ms. Kessler.
Correct, it's
900. 900. So she does have more than enough clinical and didactic hours. If we could do Ms. Treadwell separately.
Okay. So then is there any discussion on those applicants for licensure? Can I get a motion to approve those applicants for licensure that we just went over?
I'll make a motion to approve the applicants for licensure.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to grant licensure ratification for the applicants we just discussed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. It passes unanimously. Director, record the vote.
Thank you. Jennifer Treadwell has taken and passed the CNT exam and the four modules from the NCCOM. She did take and pass more than enough clinical and didactic hours from Pima, an approved school. She did have two hits regarding her history from 2007 from the FBI. We received documents from the court stating that basically it had been taken care of and they don't have any record of it anymore. And she provided an explanation of what happened in her own words.
Mm-hmm. So you said the FBI dismissed the case, or that it was dismissed where it was in court? Is that what you just said?
The report came back, and it said disposition not recorded.
Okay.
And so we didn't know, was it dismissed, was she convicted, was whatever.
Right.
And in any case, she was able to get something from the court saying, look, we don't have any record of it anymore.
Okay.
So it's taken care of.
All right. Any discussion on that case? Okay, then. Let's move on then. Is there a motion to approve, what was her first name?
Jennifer Treadwell's
application for licensure today?
I'll make a motion to approve Jennifer Treadwell's licensure.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Williams to approve the application of Jennifer Treadwell for licensure today. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Passes unanimously. Director, record the vote. All right. Looks like the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding allegations of unprofessional conduct, the Guam Piao case. And it looks like we have some updates. Did we skip along?
We do have a regular acupuncture.
Oh, we can't skip that. No. Seriously, Susan. All right. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding applications for auricular certification. Director Jerminski.
Absolutely. And to be clear, Susan, are you recusing yourself from... Okay. Does she need to step into the audience, or is she okay where she is?
I think it'll be for us.
Okay. Okay. So this is Susan Williams. She was certified by NADA in November 2018. She has a registered supervising acupuncturist and chemical dependency program. There's no derogatory information that we could find. And so the recommendation is to approve.
Who's your supervisor?
Ellen Vincent.
All right. Is there any discussion on this? No? All right. Can we get a motion to approve Susan Williams?
I'd like to make a motion to approve Susan Williams.
I'll second.
All right. I like the enthusiasm. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to grant licensure for auricular... certification. Auricular certification, to be clear, for Susan Williams. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Passes unanimously. And then I almost skipped, but is very important. The next item on the agenda is the consent for...
There's one more individual. Russell Hosky.
Oh,
Husky.
Jeez, sorry. That's not going to... All right. Then the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action for applications for auricular certification. Mm-hmm. Director Jerminski.
Yes, we have Russell Husky, who passes NADA certification in December of 2018. The supervising acupuncturist is Julie Nave. Has a registered chemical dependency program. He did have a... he failed to make a disclosure on his application about a 1986 trespassing charge. His explanation was basically, it was in 1986, and I checked the courts, and they didn't have any records, so I didn't think I needed to disclose it, which is reasonable. We did receive information from him, from the court, stating basically that they had no record. And his materials are available, and he had an explanation of those events.
Gotcha. I see those. I've gone over that. All right. Any discussion on this?
I'm sorry. The court record said that it had been taken care of. I'm sorry. Not that they didn't have any record.
But that it had been taken care of previously.
Yeah, he completed all his requirements.
Okay. Then again, any discussion on this topic? Any questions? All right. Is there a motion to approve the application for regular certification for Russell Husky? Did I say that right?
I think it's Husky.
Husky.
I'll make a motion to approve the certification for Husky.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden to grant auricular certification to Russell Husky. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Fantastic. Those opposed? All right. The vote passes unanimously. Director?
Thank you.
All right.
Next item is the consent for renewals.
Ratification. The next item on the agenda is the...
Yeah. So I just had a quick question. Do I need to stay for anything, or can I head back up the hill?
No. You're Mr. Husky?
Yes.
Is it pronounced Husky?
Russell Husky.
Husky, okay.
I was named after my grandfather, Russell, and they called me Rusty, and they named me out in the...
Rusty Husky. That's very funny. Well, the board has approved your certificate, so congratulations.
Thank
and you'll be receiving an email from us either this afternoon or tomorrow morning with information about your certificate, a digital copy of it, and then we'll send out a paper copy in the mail.
Okay. And I'd also like to thank Gemma for helping me and Director David for getting me through this. I know you were getting tired of my calls.
Absolutely not.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. All right, thank you. All right, so... We are excited for this next one. The next item of the agenda is the consent for ratification of the renewal of licenses and certificates issued by Executive Director Druminski.
Mm-hmm. And all these individuals have been reviewed for renewal and found to have no derogatory information as part of the renewal application, so they were renewed as per the board's authorization. So our recommendation is to ratify that renewal.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All right. Is there a motion on the consent for the ratification of the renewal of licenses and certificates?
I'll make a motion for the renewal of consent for the ratification of licenses and certificates.
Fantastic. Can we get a second? Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Williams to approve the consent of the ratification of renewal of licenses and certificates. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Right, it passes unanimously. Director will record the vote. All right.
Now the matter of appeal.
The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the allegations of unprofessional conduct. Guan Piao is here today to report back on the items that we had him complete for us. Concerning his continuing education units and his plan for the future action in his clinic.
David Morrison for Mr. Pound.
Fantastic. Well, let's start with, why don't you tell us what you've accomplished since we spoke to you last?
We sent in a letter, hopefully you received it, through an email to Mr. Yerminski. Copies of CEs that he performed online, and then also a copy of an informed consent to treat that Mr. Powell has adopted into his practice to attempt to prevent situations like this from happening again, where there may be some miscommunication or misunderstanding. We still feel the same way we felt last time, which is everything with that particular patient was performed professionally. No standards were broken. It's just that we thought that by submitting this form, some of the questions that you raised in the last hearing might be taken care of, or concerns might be taken care of with this consent.
Okay.
I might add, it's a consent that at least two of the malpractice carriers that I know of have adopted, with some added language that I put in at the end concerning boundaries.
Can you read the boundary language for me?
Yes. I understand that I will receive treatment to various areas of my body. I hereby consent to treatment of those areas deemed medically necessary by the acupuncturist indicated below. I acknowledge I have been given the option of having a family member or office person present during my treatment. By signing below, I acknowledge that I have either exercised this option and communicated this to the acupuncturist, or I have waived that option.
Very nice.
Thank you.
And I noticed you have 6 hours of CEUs.
Yes.
Attached?
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, you were going to put together a plan for how to deal in the future with situations of this nature.
That was the added language to the consent form.
Okay.
It gives the patient the option of choosing a family member or asking Mr. Powell to have an office person present. What we were trying to avoid a little bit is having to have an office person present the entire time he's there, just because of financial considerations. But if somebody were to request it, he would then postpone the treatment until an office person could be present.
Works for me.
Any discussion or comments, questions?
I think that you did, you dotted your I's and crossed your T's on that one.
How'd you find the CEUs?
How did you find it? On the internet? The internet.
Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, that is the last one. Please read about the Chinese.
Were they informative?
Yeah.
And just to be clear, you're not necessarily, when you have patients come in, going to verbally let them know that they can have somebody in the room, but just have them sign the paperwork.
Have them review the paperwork and sign, yes. My recommendation was to have one of these in every one of his patient files.
Did you not have a consent to treat? Were you using a consent to treat before?
I believe it was more verbal.
More verbal?
Yes, that's why I recommended the written protocol.
I wanted to raise a point. My only concern was that I didn't see that these were approved previously by the state of Arizona.
Be honest with you, we had some difficulty getting that approval. I know my office staff did call several times. I don't know if Mr. Is it Jerominski or Garaminski?
It's Jerominski.
Jerominski.
Any CE approved by the NCCAOM is also approved by this board.
Okay. But we did try to make that effort to see how we could get those approved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they ethics?
There's two
ethics, and one is also an ethics, but it's specifically for sexual boundaries.
And because this is not CE that's required for renewal, the board has discretion on whether or not that's acceptable CE. You'll find that a lot of times boundaries and ethics usually come from the medical board. They're not acupuncture specific. So that is within your ability to go ahead and approve mm-hmm. those. He just wouldn't be able to use them for renewal or anything. Not that he could use any of these, I don't think.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that extra work. I think it's very important that you have a written consent to treat for the safety of the public and for knowing that people understand informed consent, especially if there are communication problems between languages, like we previously discussed.
I am wondering with that consent form, where they have the option of saying whether they are waiving that request or they actually want somebody there, if maybe there couldn't be a little place where they could put a initial on either
yes or
one
no.
of those, just so.
We can do that. The page, it's just two paragraphs above the signature. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very
But at least we would know what their choice was and that it got pointed out to them.
There is a, on the very last, in the little...
at the bottom.
Bottom, it says, I choose to have a family member or office person present, yes or no.
Oh, okay, good.
So it does
have
that.
Yeah, I really like that. That's wonderful. That's a really good choice.
It says circle one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very satisfying. Okay.
So you still have to...
Still have to.
There's a pending complaint.
Right.
So the board has a couple options today. If you feel that there's no violation of state statute and everything, your concerns have been addressed, you can dismiss. You can do a letter of concern, a non-disciplinary order, additional CE, or if you feel that there's a disciplinary action that needs to be taken. Do we have to move it to
a hearing?
Yeah, because we don't have a second step. Mm-hmm. So those would be your options today.
So we can either decide right now, we can move to executive discussion to discuss it further. If
do a discussion in executive session.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. To get advice in an executive session further.
Frankie, can you share your opinion?
I cannot. I don't decide these cases. You are the deciding body.
I can share
fully your decision. Yes.
I think we're about to hear yours. I'd like to hear it now. Go right ahead.
I think that he complied with everything he needed to do. He put in the correct language. He got the education. And now he understands. I'm in favor of dismissing it.
I also lean towards dismissal. I feel like he's jumped through the appropriate hoops. I like the CEUs he chose. They were the right ones. They were, you know, with the sexual boundaries included. And I really appreciate his consent to treat.
Board members, do you have any more concerns on this matter?
No. I just want to confirm that we won't see you in front of us for these issues again.
We hope not.
Can I make a motion?
Do we get that from Mr. Piao?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I would like to make a motion to dismiss the complaint against Mr. Piao.
Is there a second?
I'll give a second.
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to dismiss the allegations of unprofessional conduct with Guan Piao. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, it posts unanimously.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Piao?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Deep breaths. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding continuing education course approvals. This one is Nutritional Solutions for a Pharmaceutical World. You'll hear item A. There, in the notes, there's information on this.
There is.
Class.
And there's the application form along with the general description of the course, hour-by-hour outline, the qualifications of the person providing the course, a copy of the certificate that would be provided, and a... evaluation form as required by the rule.
I've looked over this. It looks like an interesting class. Anybody have any discussion on this?
So part of your determination is, you know, is this, not only is this good CE, but does this apply in any way to acupuncture?
How many hours do they
give? It's 12, and I counted. There is 12. An hour lunch, 2 days.
I feel like this is an appropriate topic.
You know. A lot of drug interaction.
Yeah.
Looks like it would be good.
I think it would be probably valuable for any acupuncturist to understand how this works and how they interact with one another.
And I'm sure that Life Chiropractic is considered a credible organization.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. Fantastic. Is there a motion to approve the continuing education course, Nutritional Solutions for a Pharmaceutical World?
I'll make a motion to approve the course CE for Nutritional Solutions for a Pharmaceutical World.
Can I get
I'll
a
second?
All right. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden to approve Nutritional Solutions for a Pharmaceutical World as a continuing education course. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Those opposed? All right. It's been unanimously approved. Fantastic.
And for the minutes, to be clear, that was for the full 12 hours requested.
Yes.
The full 12.
All right. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding the definition of acupuncture. We discussed this at the last meeting. We sent out some materials. Everybody get the materials okay?
Yes.
All right. And hopefully had time to look over them appropriately. All right. So let's discuss a little bit. Essentially what we're discussing is adding the word removal to the definition of acupuncture to clarify what the stimulation of acupuncture needles is. Any discussion on that?
Is there, I'm looking, I wanted to, can we have it read out loud, though, to change?
Yeah, let's get to that. Director Chermansky, you want to read that for us?
So this is one of the substantive policy statement, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so the actual, the purpose of this is there's a substantive policy statement that has not been adopted by the board yet that's on the table. That discusses that while the board seeks the addition of the clarification on the definition, in the meantime, the board understands that the current definition implies removal in the stimulation of the needle.
Wow.
So that's what's on the table right now. I believe there's a copy of that substantive policy statement in your materials.
There is. Oh, the statement draft?
Yes, yeah. And basically the meat of it is on that second page.
Yeah, so the first paragraph is always just your general, you know, mumbo-jumbo about what the policy statement is about. The second paragraph is your sitting definition and the board's current interpretation is also contained in that second paragraph. The third paragraph is about the board's duties and its concerns about not incorporating removal into the stimulation of needles. And then your final paragraph basically informs the public that the board is seeking a statutory and rule change, but in the meantime, this would be the definition, in your opinion, that would stand. So the question was whether or not the board is going to agree, majority-wise, that this is your understanding.
Board Member Fontes, you still want that paragraph read out loud?
Yes.
All right. The board will seek a statute and or rule change to clarify the definition of acupuncture, to specifically include the removal of needles in a licensee's scope of practice. While the board seeks this change to clarify its position, the board will continue to recognize removal of needles as practicing acupuncture in the state of Arizona under its current law. Only individuals licensed by this board and exempt pursuant to ARS 32-3921B are authorized to remove needles from patients being treated with acupuncture. Any unlicensed persons removing needles without a license, certificate, or statutory exemption may be subject to legal action pursuant to ARS 32-3953. And any licensed acupuncturist directing or supervising an unlicensed person in the removal of needles may be subject to discipline by the board for unprofessional conduct. Does anybody have any discussion about us making this statement while we are seeking to have that change, the statutory, I'm sorry.
That's very well written and
it is.
Very
Thank you
clear.
Very much. Excellent job,
it
Frankie.
Doesn't allow it any room for,
right.
Yeah.
For creative interpretation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a dry removal.
What is in ARS 32-3921B?
Those are the exemptions for
doctors. Self-acupuncture,
right.
Emergency,
chiropractic.
Did you say self-acupuncture?
Self-acupuncture is always exempt. You can perform acupuncture on yourself without any knowledge, training, or a license. Or, I don't know why you would.
Yes.
It's in there, though.
Bodies are given out for
the
student.
Fair enough.
There's a reason it's in there. I'm assuming at some point somebody might have been disciplined for self-acupuncture. So it is in there.
And most of the board statutes say something along those lines where
yeah.
It's, you know, treating yourself is not.
But you know what? Point
yeah.
A, somebody did it to themselves.
Right. Right.
Can I make a motion to accept?
Sorry, I don't want to ask questions. It might just be my creative brain, but would there be any reason to want to offer separate mm-hmm. certification for someone who learns how to just take the needles out? Would that
That's not part of this discussion, but
it's that
That would be in, further down the road if, as far as I know, schools don't teach just removal of the needle. So it's a bigger conversation with the education component and their lobbyists. It's something that they would probably have to push for, like a small class that would teach removal, and then they would probably want to explore things like an acupuncturist assistant recognition, something along those lines. But once again, not really within what this board is currently doing, but it may be something for further discussion down the road if this board wants to speak with a lobbyist about.
A board member, LaHavi, I think we'd have more people in line that are unhappy if we just let them remove them.
And there are other, you know, chiropractors have chiropractic assistants, you know. I think the difference is, too, is that in the teaching of acupuncture, we learn that in removing the needles, you can have a great therapeutic effect on that point. And, you know, to have a class to teach the removal, you'd also have to include what all the points do in relationship to how you remove them. So it would be difficult, but, you know, other states have looked at that, and it is something we can look at in the future.
Right. I understand the chiropractic assistants just hold them down.
I hope not.
Sorry.
No, it's a very good question, and it has been brought up a couple times in terms of the acupuncture assistants. But right now, we don't have any laws or rules that support acupuncture assistants or anyone removing the needles, and we don't have any laws or rules that allow this board to discipline anyone should one of those assistants do something bad.
Okay. I believe there is room left open for interns, but it would have to be through the school and a school program.
You do have an exemption for students. So doing your interns and externships, if you are associated with a school program that's recognized by this board, you're free to, I think there's even an unprofessional conduct statute that says you are inappropriately supervising either a certificate holder or a student.
Right.
So that's worked in automatically into our statute. So just not anybody off the street.
All right. Good question. Any other discussion of this?
Liability insurance, I don't think would cover, for example, a chiropractor assistant.
It's a domino effect. It really, I mean, it really kind of starts at the education level and then will go on to, you know, the licensure and regulation and the insurance coverage. And then, yeah, it's a very big undertaking.
The main question and the reason the board, I think, is considering this policy statement is there a public health issue? You know, is there an issue, or it's, you know, is this lack of training or lack of licensure and all the education and training and certification that goes with that potentially going to pose a threat to the patient? So if you think yes, then you would be in support of that. Yeah.
I think that is our biggest concern, is that, you know, due to needles and the effect that people have or the reactions people have when removed as far as needle shock, bleeding, stuff like that, even though rare in the field.
Is going still, home with needles stuck in there.
Going home with needles. Yeah, yeah. No souvenirs. No souvenirs. Okay. I think it might be that time.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the substitute policy statement as written.
I'll second that.
All right, fantastic. Motion made by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Hayden. In approving the substantive policy statement on the definition of acupuncture in ARS 32-39011. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, it's been voted on unanimously. Director Jaminski will record the vote. All right, we have some more discussion today. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action on regarding battlefield acupuncture.
And Chairperson Fitzgerald, this is the discussion that we had last month from the RN Scope of Practice Committee. The board asked me to get some more information about battlefield acupuncture, some general definitions and what that looks like. And so I provided an article overview from Military Times, which is where this generated from, the U.S. military, and also from the American Journal of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. There is a description of battlefield acupuncture and its uses and benefits from that journal.
All right. Any discussion on this? I think we're just basically trying to become a little more knowledgeable on the topic, because we do are looking to have a presentation made by the nurses through the VA, correct? Through the VA?
So there's my understanding is that there's a physician who works through the VA who is asking the scope practice committee of the nurses if he can train nurses to perform this, you know.
Right. So we will be having a presentation on it, and I think they're looking to see what our opinion is. So it's just really important that we get acclimated with the process.
Great. And as a sidebar, if the nursing board does decide to open up its scope of practice to include battlefield, it will affect this board in that you will probably need to create an exemption for those nurses. So it will affect you whether or not you decide to take it up. It's good to be read upon it.
And next we'll have our licensees include nursing. Sidebar.
Okay, so it's important that all of you guys read up on this information, and we'll have a presentation soon. I'm not sure if there's any action really for us to do today other than to just make sure that we're keeping apprised.
This is great. Very informative.
Fantastic.
I did have one question. Is acupressure not as effective as acupuncture on these points in this arena? And that would be a question I'd like to address when the nurses give their presentation.
So I'm, you know, obviously not an expert in the field. My understanding is that they do use seeds and magnets in the place of needles for this in particular. Just through the brief research that I've done, my understanding is that the needle obviously is preferred because of the stimulation.
I've also been barbed into a very small needle. And it remains in place for up to a week.
Okay. Right.
So that's this really sustained process as opposed to the other choices.
So they'll put the needle behind the ear instead of in front of it.
Environment. Okay. Something I'm very interested in learning more about.
Yeah.
Are they limiting themselves to the 5 points or just a few, or do you know what's the scope of that?
I'm under the impression that battlefield acupuncture is more than just the NADA points, that it includes whatever ear points that they need to use at that moment.
No, battlefield acupuncture, there is 5 or 6 points that they use.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there is a practitioner class.
Thank you.
Very painful, too.
Yeah, because, again, they use the barbed needles that stay in place. Wow. But then again, if you're very active, staying in place is really important.
Right.
As far as needles versus acupressure, there's a study that I had been reading where they'd use a Doppler scan. So Doppler pretty much reads heat, so they're looking at blood flow rushing to the area, and a needle has the effect to the tissue as far as blood flow reaching that area that lasts a lot longer than acupressure or a magnet or something like that. Okay. So there is that, you know, there are studies out there saying that there is a big difference.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that this is good to be on our radar and look forward to hearing from the nurses in the future.
If I may add on that, a lot of times it depends on the sensitivity of the individual.
Yeah.
So some people you can kind of come near the point and activate it. Other you have to kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point. Very true. Very
and
true.
I just wonder stress hormones in that environment.
Oh, yeah. That'll all affect it. More stress, more tightness, it tends to be a little pinch.
Okay. So, next topic, review, discussion, and possible actions regarding AccuDetox treatment for trauma. We had talked about expanding the ability of AccuDetox professionals to treat more than just addiction, and to expanding it to trauma, which is, you know, encompasses many different things. I think in this context, we were discussing keeping the points to just NADA, but then expanding what is treatable with those NADA points. So the safety for the community would stay the same, but expand the reach of what AccuDetox could treat. Any discussion on this topic?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah?
That's what the NADA protocol is for. It's not just for addiction, it's for trauma and stress and anxiety and all of those things. And why not?
So I use the part mostly for trauma and stress.
But me too.
I think that the language is pretty darn specific that we have, so it's going to be a...
Now, this is not something that could be modified through a policy statement.
You'd
have to, seek legislation.
Yeah.
If you felt that the training and experience and that the auricular acupuncturist could lend to this, and if you felt that the treatment was appropriate for treating that issue, then you could seek a statutory change.
I think the board member that probably knows most about this is Susan. Susan, what do you think about trauma being added in?
I think it's an amazing and a fantastic opportunity, and I appreciate Chairperson Hayden bringing it forward from her vantage. I am 100% in favor of it. I think that so much addiction actually stems from trauma and vice versa, and that being able to address that. And as Judge Pyle presented in the last meeting, the incidents, if we could interrupt that in the penal code system, that perhaps we make leaps and bounds forward movement in addressing the addiction problems that we see in the society. Thank you.
Board Member Williams, do you by any chance know if, I know Pima teaches trauma mm-hmm. in their auricular program,
mm-hmm.
is that a regular part of...
Absolutely.
Trauma is
yes.
part of every auricular program.
Yes.
It's just this state doesn't recognize.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
it's
a part of many licensed acupuncturist training programs too. It was certainly
so. It wouldn't be a huge. It wouldn't be a change on the part of the education curriculum.
It is not.
It's
is
just
not
it
a
would
change.
Be as far as what this board recognizes.
So we actually have the developer of the education curriculum for Pima's not a audience.
Hi.
Oh, good. We actually teach it for homeless. We teach it for traumas of all sorts. We teach it in
in a box with a box.
Cancer treatment. It is used for so many things. It's used in jails to slow down the rates of rage. It's used in so many places all over the world now. And it's useful for just calming and relaxing people. It's used with disaster relief. It's just used everywhere.
And it's the same 5 points, is that correct?
So
it's the same
right.
five
yes.
points.
Mm-hmm. So it's really not.
Yeah so it
not
doesn't change the safety.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because I know we talked about this in the past, this board, with different composition, has talked about
mm-hmm.
this in the past. And I think the only major concern was to make sure that all the education, the schools were on the same page with what they were teaching, because if one school was teaching trauma and one school was not,
yeah,
then we have a problem.
Nada teaches trauma as well.
Well, and if our first job is to protect the community, not changing acupuncture points is the same amount of safety as was before,
exactly.
but really holds up to more of an ethical standard that if we're going into jails, we're not saying, oh, well, these people, you're addicted, you get treatment. These people, you're not addicted to something, you don't get anything, right? And the safety is the same, but the ethics is a higher standard, I believe.
So it sounds like the board is heading towards a statutory change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any
yes.
discussion or anybody that yeah. doesn't believe that we should have a statutory change?
Okay.
May I ask an additional question? Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely.
I wondered, how has the opiate crisis changed how you administer this program?
It hasn't changed it at all.
It hasn't.
It's just made us more aware that we need to work on other fronts.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I think with the VA seeing that they have to change their ways in prescribing, they're also seeing that they need to send their clients out to get treatments from other acupuncturists. And I know that we utilize it heavily every day in our clinic.
Excellent. Okay.
Very convenient to have you here today. Thank you very much.
Yes.
You introduced yourself earlier, and I apologize. I've forgotten.
My name is Tony Benali.
Tony Benali.
I'm a board member. I sat on the board for 2 terms. I was chairperson for 3 years and secretary my last year.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming. Appreciate the information. Frankie, how do you think it's going to be with the language? Is it a really hard language change?
Well, I don't get involved with the actual drafting. What would happen is David would have to open up a folder, find a sponsor. Those are really your finding a sponsor is really your toughest gig. But
who are sponsor options?
Yep.
Who's on the board committee?
Bartow.
Is she still on that?
She's on the house now.
Okay.
She's the chairman of the house.
So you would need to find a sponsor. You have to open up a folder. The language would be written by, you would have to get a statutory
Normally what probably happen is I'll draft something and then I'll deal with, they have legislative drafting people at the legislature. And then we'll argue about it. And then,
it'll go back and forth
and,
a couple of times.
Right, okay. and then ultimately that'll get, my initial draft will go to the board. The board will approve that language. We'll send it to those drafters over there, and then to the legislator.
All right. And then how long does that process usually take? I apologize.
No, excuse me. Mari, do you recall who the legislative person was that was at that board panel discussion we went to in Tucson? There's somebody who was very much in favor of all this that we saw presented.
It's good to have friends in the legislature.
Yes, it is good to have friends.
It's good, yes.
If
you have contact.
May I address Ellen in the audience? Ellen, do you recall who that was?
I didn't hear what you were saying. Sorry.
When we went to the board presentation that Mario and I were both at, we were there. Do you recall who the legislative person who was there, who's on the board at Haven, was? We would need a sponsor to change this bill or change the statute.
So someone besides Cindy and Leanna?
Right. So there was somebody there that was in the legislature as well as the mayor of Tucson?
Oh, no, but let me think.
Okay.
It might come to me.
Well, if you get that information, you forward it to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a busy session. I wouldn't mind a list of the possible sponsors as well.
I mean, it's basically anyone in the legislature can sponsor it for us.
Okay.
Ideally, you want someone who's on the committee that's going to be hearing that issue. They're both the Health and Human Services committees in the House and the Senate. So
that's
anyone who's on
needed.
Either of those committees would be ideal, obviously.
Perfect.
Previously, Senator Bartow, now Representative Bartow, is the chairperson of the House Health and Human Services Committee, and she does have an interest in regulatory agencies and public health, so she may be someone who would want to.
Fantastic. All right, so you are going to draft that for us. That's the next step. So we're going to direct you to do that, and I think we don't need a vote or anything on this, right?
No, you can just direct him to start that process. So the next folder needs to be open before November, next session.
Right.
It could be a year at least before you see any kind of a change, but at least we can get the process started.
Because even if, so it has to get submitted to the legislature, and then it goes through several committees, and then it goes through several other committees, and then it goes to the other side of the other chamber, and then they go through the whole same process. And then if it gets approved and voted on by both houses, then it goes to the governor, and then he decides whether or not something he wants to sign off on. And if he does, then it'll go at the general effective date of everything else after the legislature closes. The legislature closes whenever they're done. And so it's usually 90 days after that.
90 days under,
It's weird when you were talking, I saw a dancing bill.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Did you?
It's a slow process, but I know this board has discussed several statutes that you need to clarify and fix, along with a couple more on the agenda today.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this will probably be a good session if we can get a sponsor to support the board to go forward with this with
the
whole
revision. Okay.
All right, then.
And it's probable, do you think?
None of what the board has so far proposed adds any regulation other than to clarify existing statutes, which is always in the public benefit to clarify a statute, and to basically to reduce regulation or to be more inclusive of your practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, the governor's office and the legislature has had a negative attitude towards adding regulation, increasing fees, more hoops to jump through. None of what you've proposed thus far this year has hit that kind of a bar.
Great.
I never know, but I just, it seems like very reasonable requests by this board, so hopefully.
And if you need anything in the way of like what other states are doing, I'd be happy to assist with any kind of like platform building for this.
Great.
Thank you. All right, then. Director Drzemiński, we direct you to write that draft.
Okay.
And on to the next subject. All right, so the next subject today is review, discussion, and possible action regarding board goals for FY20. So these are the board goals on the website. They're a little out of date. I think we need to update them. And, you know, really that way we're communicating with the community what we're doing to help. Now, I had submitted a list of board goals. David? Yeah, I think he has them in there. That I would thought were good, but I would love goals from everybody.
And to be clear, this is not late. It's early because in state government, we don't operate on a calendar year. We operate on a fiscal year, so our year begins July 1st. So this would be July 1st to June 30th.
I'm missing it. Where am I finding that on here?
Let me... Hold on. Let me do a little bit of magic here.
I've got my handwritten ones in here.
This is an idea for consideration where we want to form a little ad hoc committee to kind of work through like some of the goals or format so that we got solicited input from everybody and kind of vetted that.
How many are there?
I don't think there's a specific number you have to do.
No, but I mean, no. How many are there? We can just read them off and talk about them.
We could do that. Hold on a moment.
If it's not.
I think he's adding them to our list.
Oh, yeah.
We will have them in front of us in just 1 second.
And if getting a committee together is too difficult, David could also email out what Chairperson Fitzgerald
goals.
Has come up with.
Refresh.
And then you can kind of maybe work off that to add or amend anything.
Yeah, refresh your page.
Yeah.
There's only six.
Oh, there we go.
Right, I just want to make sure everybody has a chance to participate.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. My wording still.
It says goals.
Yeah, goals.
You going to read those?
All right, so here are the goals that I was interested in. Number one is actually the goal I'm most interested in, and I believe was a brainchild originally of Board Member Hayden, which is the creation of a licensee outreach education quarterly online newspaper, or newsletter, not paper, like an email, with optional editorial sections for board members and an availability for licensee participation and input.
I love it all except the editorial portion, and I'll just...
So the editorial section for board members, that's just not something we can do?
You're allowed to make statements as individuals to the public anytime you want, so long as you're not representing the board. An editorial is a personal opinion, and if it appears on a board newsletter, there's a possible perception by the public that that is the opinion of the board, even though it's
Marked
as an editorial. I would just caution the board to stay away from editorials. But with that said, the newsletter is always a great idea. Anytime a law is updated or a rule changes or a substantive policy is adopted, that's something that can go out to the licensees. Anytime there's any really interesting CE that they may want to look into, or if there's a conference coming up that they may be interested in, it's a great way to reach out. So also about board meetings.
Fantastic.
Board meetings, so.
Well, now we have the wonderful help of HEMA here, and
absolutely.
With that should free up Dr. Jermensky to put a little more of this together for us if
right.
we can't do editorial sections to break up the work.
Right. And I can, I've done newsletters before for other agencies, so it's not something that can be done.
Idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And I think
I would love to see an example of one of those.
Quarterly is probably the most frequent you want to do.
So,
I agree with that as well.
I've tried monthly with other clients, and it just gets crazy.
Can you send us an example of a letter you've done in the past?
If I can get it from the other agency.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Or you could just put together a mock one for us if that's easier for you.
Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah.
So would this be able to be sent out email style to all of our members and also be placed on the website.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
and
not on the website. There's a statute that prohibits the board from posting anything that's not statutorily authorized. So because you don't have like a actual statute that says the board shall produce a newsletter and distribute it and post it, that's something that can't go on the website.
Yeah.
So your website's for anything board related, your agendas, your minutes, your membership, your applications, copies of statements, laws. You can do little flashes, especially about updates about laws and things like that, but generally you can't post anything that hasn't been statutorily authorized.
But we do have the ability to send an email to everybody now. So
fantastic.
I guess the clarity I need is the intention to summarize the minutes of the 3 months that would make up that quarter?
Every board does it a little bit differently.
Okay.
Some boards will send out, these are the actions that the board took on, different licensees, discipline, non-discipline, that sort of thing. I don't know necessarily if that's advised, but traditionally, normally you would do things like, hey, this is legislation that's pending that you may want to look at, and this is, the board has changed this policy, you might want to think about, how that might affect you, or we've updated our forms, so look out for this information on the form. Things like that, or commonly, we get this call all the time. Here's the answer to the question.
That's what I'm most interested in, is clarifying things for our community, like what is the scope of practice? What is, common questions, I think, really need to be answered, because I think we get the scope of practice question on a regular basis, and maybe we could stick it in there every year.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also for legislative action, if we raise an awareness of our intention of making these statute changes, this is a way to get people on board.
And we saw it up in Flagstaff, when the word gets out, you have a very interested community, and it's great when they come and interact with the board. However, a lot of people don't check the website to see when the meetings are and what's on the agenda, but a newsletter would be great coming up at the May meeting. XYZ.
Or an announcement that, hey, guess what? You can get a CEU. Come to our meeting.
Or here's a statute that's not within your chapter but affects you.
Yeah.
Like the reporting statute.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you get reports on the website if people are looking at pages?
What do you mean?
Like a tracking. Do you have a
phone? Yes.
Depending on the page or the site.
I'm just curious if people are accessing them and using it.
So I can't tell.
Before you came along, it was grossly outdated. I'm just wondering if people are accessing.
I can't tell you who's accessing it.
But can you tell me if they are?
I mean, it depends. So the system has the ability to count how many times it's been viewed, but I don't know if that's turned on for every page or not, and that sort of thing. I haven't been tracking that closely.
If you could just give us some information on if people are using these tools that we're providing for.
Sure.
Like our Google Analytics that's available.
No Google Analytics, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't think we're
that sophisticated. Yeah, let's see here.
So anybody have any concerns about the newsletter?
Nope.
No, everyone feel like that's
a good
goal?
It's a very good goal.
So let's keep that one, strike the editorial section, and just keep the quarterly newsletter in general. And I believe with the goals, we're attaching dates to them. So what's the date in which we want to have this up and rolled out?
Tomorrow.
3 months? 2 months? We could just randomly pick a date and see what happens for you. That would be interesting.
So,
30 days.
Tomorrow.
So, if it's a quarterly newspaper, January, April, July.
July.
Right, so.
All right. So, let's have it rolled up by July.
All right.
So, let's add that to the goal there. And I know you were answering a question.
So I can tell you just generically, I have a list of hits on the pages here, that the homepage has had about 7,000 hits. It doesn't tell me the range of time that is.
Wow.
The directory obviously has about 3,000 hits. Applications and form page, about 1,800. The board member page saying who's on the board and who the staff members are, about 1,100, so on.
But you don't know the time frame.
Yeah, I don't know the time frame. It's checking it on. No.
It's the beginning of time.
Maybe. I don't think it holds on to it that long. So.
Beginning of interweb time.
All right.
Oh, Lord. All
right. Let's see the next one. Unless anybody has any more discussion on that.
No,
okay.
We don't have to.
Streamline AccuDetox application process to facilitate the ease of use by licensees. I wrote these before that was done, so let's just put a check through that one. Good job, guys.
Well, I like number three.
change licensing from 1 year renewal to 2 year renewals while keeping the fee at $550, $275 per year, with the possibility of decreasing fees based on lower volume of administrative work needed for renewals.
That's an undertaking.
It's a big.
Is it?
Are you trying to take away my job?
we just want to add more to your job by taking other things off.
So there's. Go ahead.
If this is a big undertaking because it doesn't affect just one statute or rule, it affects many. Mm-hmm. Because with the 1 year, you'd have to change your renewal statute. You'd also have to change your fee statute, and then you would also have to change your CE and your requirements for renewal. Statutes and rules. This is a major undertaking. It's a good one.
I think it's an important one that needs to be started.
I think it falls within the...
Agenda is this for a lengthier discussion? And move on to that?
I'll just add, we did this with the chiropractic board in Alaska, and people were very, very pleased when we did it.
Most people are very pleased about having to not renew every year.
Yes. And I think it fits within our goal to deregulate. It's less work for the licensees, it's less work for us.
Right.
I would even be okay if we struck out lowering the fee and just keeping the renewal to 2 years, and then I guess we'd have to work on the CEUs with that as well.
Yeah, it's a major overhaul of your statutes and rules because it kind of bleeds into...
So this is less about goals in general and more about actual statute change?
It can be a goal.
It's a goal to get it started anyway.
And we need to think about, we're not running with a huge blush of cash every year.
Okay.
All right, so we need to think about cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
If we move to a 2 year renewal cycle, what does that do to the board's ability to continue to operate past that first year, right?
You
might run out of money. So that's
that?
A problem.
And
so
if you save money, you might get swept.
Right. And so there are things like, do we make if you have an even number licensee, you renew on an even number year, odd number license, renew on an odd number year,
if
things like that.
It.
So there's a lot of questions involved in how you make that work. And it is when Frankie says it's a huge undertaking, it's an underestimation of how.
So then maybe we should table this discussion Secretary Font has suggested to another day. So let's maybe next meeting.
It can still be a goal, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as.
I just wanted to agendize it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's agendize it for the next meeting.
Okay.
And then let's put it on the goals as well. And let's give it a couple years. About 2 years or so. Does that sound good to everybody?
To be done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2 years to completion.
Next year, you guys have a really decent size workload for statutory changes.
All right. We'll put this one off then.
Yeah.
One of the side benefits I was just going to share is a seminar was set up every 2 years by the organizations within the state. And it was a major money generator to help support the growth of chiropractic, in this case acupuncture, in the state, because it gave financial resource that stayed in the state for continuing ed, and it was an opportunity for people to meet together to network every 2 years. So something to think about. It is a way to unite the community.
Okay. So as far as the goals, do we want to add in the change in price as well, or just keep the 2 year one?
I think we should agendize it and deal with it all in one swoop.
Again, we'd have to look at, the cash flow issue and is there enough in the account to keep going every month, but also does the fee structure support the amount of our expenses
this
that we have
more
now?
Than a couple
right.
months from now.
Right, because we're not just... We don't operate with a huge amount of money over what we're taking in.
Okay.
We're pretty close to the line. So.
So when do you suggest we agendize this?
I mean, we could continue discussing it at the next meeting. That's fine.
Okay, let's
do that.
Would
it work for you to do that, David? What is it going to be more difficult for you?
To do 2 year renewals?
Yeah.
Administratively, it's not a big deal. I mean, we'll have half the renewals every year that we would normally, and that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it's the same process administratively. It's just how do we make it work so that it's good for the licensee and the board's still able to function appropriately. So, for larger boards where you've got 10,000 licensees, this is not an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you've only got 630,
gotcha.
It starts to become a question about, financially, how do we do it?
Okay, so agendize for the next meeting and keeping it there for a goal. And the next item, the next goal, is to refine the term needle manipulation to include both the insertion and removal of needles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or stimulation, not.
You could put
yes,
it on.
Yes, stimulation, you're correct.
You could put it on the goals to seek legislation.
Okay, because that's what we're currently doing.
Because that's what you're doing, and if you do it, then you succeed.
Can we add in there that there's that language about at a distant site?
That's
one of the things in the that we've talked about.
Apparently, only physical therapists can do it locally.
Okay. All right. The next one is the create terminology for the existence of an acupuncture intern. I since found out that there is already that, so this is kind of a moot point. The next one is, I asked David to tell me what issues we have with our website and what improvements he think will make it better for the licensees. How about make a list and then bring it back to us?
Right now the main thing is just to get it working right.
Maybe give us a list of the ways that it's not working right.
Yeah, and so that is in process.
Okay.
And we've fixed a lot of the issues that we had. It's marking people for renewal now. They're able to get in and do the renewal applications. We're having way less errors than we used to have. Him and I are growing back all the hair that we pulled out. So that's good. But there are obviously things that we can always do to help make that easier. For instance, getting the continuing education application, making that online and fillable, getting the if a person wants to get a whole bunch of public records, which we get public records requests fairly regularly, to get that form online fillable and be able to pay for it online, that's an improvement I think would be good.
Can you make that into a good sentence that we could add to the goals to the front of the page?
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be really wonderful. That way, at least if someone is having issues with the website, they know that we are interested in currently actively working on making it better for them.
Yeah.
All right. Now, those are my goals. Anybody have anything you would like to add?
I'd like to think about it over the course of this next month.
Fantastic.
If anyone has any additional goals, you can just shoot an email to David and compile them, and if we bring them back at the next month.
Great. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay. Excellent.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
I'm glad
good
we did
goals.
That.
That was very good.
I think it's important that we have that on our website so that people know that we are current, because right now it doesn't really show that. All right, so next topic, moving through them. This is review, discussion, and possible action regarding statutory change to ARS 323902, composition of the board. So this is a topic I think we'll probably just stick our toes into today. Just about the fact that we haven't been able to fill our board up completely. We have more members than many other boards, and maybe we need to discuss how to solve that. You know, decreasing the members so that it's easier for us to have a quorum. David, could you give us a little summary of how many members we have and
certainly
how many we're missing, yada yada.
So the current, I'll just go to this side because it'll be easier.
Three.
Yeah, currently the board it's a 9-member board. It's rather large compared to other agencies. They're usually 5 or 7, always an odd number so there's not ties, right? You're voting. It's always difficult we're missing 3. It's always difficult to fill the one of the positions like Rosemary's sitting in. I don't know that the board has ever had both of them filled. Chiropractor or DO or MD, naturopath, homeopath.
And that's the hardest one to fill?
Right, that's a very hard one to fill. So if you were to reduce that number to 7, you have to eliminate 2 of those positions, whether it was an acupuncturist position or a consumer member position.
How many acupuncturists, how many consumer?
We have 4 licensed acupuncturists on the board, 3 consumer members, and 2 who are DOs, MDs, chiropractors, physical therapists, homeopaths, or naturopaths.
So what is the difficulty of making a change like this? Is this change, hard change?
It's a legislative change, so you have to run a bill.
Literally strike the word 3 to 2 and then 2 to 1, and you just have to decide what you want to reduce. Do you want to go from your 4 licensed acupuncturists to 3? And do you want to go from the three consumers to two? Do you want to go from two professionals to one? What does this board want to do?
Two professionals to one and strike one of the consumers.
I agree.
And just informationally, the trend right now is to have more consumer members than licensed professionals.
So right now, your board is in a unique position that you actually have more non-licensees on your board than you have licensees on your board.
Right.
That's rare in this state.
Right.
In this state, on a composition of a 7-member board, usually 3 consumers, 4 professionals. It's a good thing that you guys have more non-licensees. It's actually positively viewed when you go, there's an antitrust challenge. It's a positive thing that your decisions are being made by non-licensees because it's very hard for someone to argue that you are trying to protect your profession when the balance. So while it's not unheard of having more licensed acupuncturists than non on your board, it would shift the balance and that might get scrutinized because you would be going from the minority to the majority.
Have we ever canceled a meeting because we didn't have quorum?
Yes.
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 Just recently.
Mm-hmm. Several times in the last year.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I would. The other question is, you currently regulate a body of auricular acupuncturists who don't have representation on the board. Mm-hmm. So that's the question as to whether
like
or not
auricular?
You would like auriculars to have a seat on the board or not.
So the discussion for the board would really be about how you want to reduce the number.
Yeah.
And whether you want to add anyone
to bring
the number back down. To down.
Can we agendize this?
Absolutely.
May I express that reducing the number of professionals other than acupuncturists on the board, the ND, MD, DC concern, I think it's always an excellent idea to network between different professions. And for example, the issue with the nursing board, we've expressed this as a wonderful opportunity to build communication. So when you reduce that number, even though it's been a problem to fill, you're reducing the opportunity to network with other potential boards. So I'm not sure I could support that, to reduce it, even though it's a quorum issue.
So what are some reasons to add, and why is it so difficult to find more people?
Because they have to, they have to go through the application process that you went through.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just finding people who are interested, it's finding people who are qualified and interested.
Right.
And then finding people that are qualified and interested that the governor's office is willing to appoint.
And can miss a day of work.
Yeah,
right.
So that's a whole day.
Right. And that's hard for people. So, you know, with acupuncturists, it's a hard ask.
So that's the concern.
Yeah.
So if you're asking a chiropractor, doctor, MD of some sort to miss a day of work, that's
right.
Okay. Especially for a profession that's not necessarily their own.
Most of my medical professional boards, I would say like a podiatry board, we only have 5 members because it's nearly impossible to find 3 practicing physicians to give up a day on top of the prep time that it takes for the meetings, to give up that day for $50 to drive down and do that meeting.
I mean, how long have we been without a quorum? I'm sorry, not without a quorum, without a full board.
We had a full board very, very, very briefly at the end of last year.
No.
So it's a little bit like a unicorn for us.
No.
It's rare.
It's not feasible.
No.
We had for like a week. We had like a
full quorum. We have never had a full quorum since I've been here.
So if we decrease the number of people on our board, what would our quorum be? So if we had 7 people, what would
be
4?
Okay.
If you had 5, it'd be 3.
It's always a simple majority.
I don't know if you would do it under 5 or not. So
we could run a meeting with 4 people if we went down to 7.
So perhaps this is a new topic. I feel like maybe we need to all digest it a little bit. I think we should take Secretary Fontes' suggestion to agendize it, with the caveat that we're all going to really think about it. I think the main things to think about are, do we want to decrease it? If we do want to decrease it and we're going to go down to 7, which 2 are we going to take away? And are we going to add an auricular position, or take one of these positions and turn it into an auricular position so that that has a little more representation?
And
so I think
as an alternative thought, I think when David said about adding an auricular, I mean, technically you could remove 1 from each and then add an auricular and you'd have your 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then that would be kind of an even fair thing to do, maybe? depending on what your definition of fair is.
It's just a suggestion. That's just something the board can toss around. Is, you know, if you removed one from each and then added an auricular, you'd still have seven. But the other alternative would be to remove two of your other and stick with that. So,
I don't know. Any questions anybody has before we agendize this for another meeting? No? All right. Director, if you could agendize this for the next meeting, we will chew on it a little bit and see what we think.
That's a really good one. Who brought that up?
Me. Okay. So, review, discussion, and possible action regarding the executive director report.
David Schnell.
Director Drumensky, what do you have for us today?
I really don't have a lot of updates except for House Bill 2569, which is in your materials. And I'll just go over that briefly. This did pass through the legislature and was signed by our governor on April 10th. It won't go, it's not effective yet, but it will go into effect 90 days past sine die, which will probably be August-ish. The AG's office hasn't told us exactly how it's going to operate, but my brief understanding is that if a person who is a resident of Arizona, who establishes with this board that they're living here, applies to this board, and they have a license in another state, and if that license in the other state is in good standing, they don't have any disciplinary actions or anything like that, then they could apply to this board and get licensure here through endorsement by that state, saying that getting a license verification from that state, saying that they were in good standing and so on. So they wouldn't have to submit transcripts or their CNT, or their NCCAM results, or anything like that. They would simply say, look, we've been licensed for 15 years in Kentucky, and so we'd be licensed here. They would still have to go through an FBI background check for fingerprints. The board still does make the final call on whether the person is licensed or not. But they wouldn't have to submit all that documentation.
How long does that last before they have to actually go through something from the state?
It doesn't circumvent the licensing process. It truncates it. So they would still have to apply for a license, pay the fees, and get a license verification and fingerprinting, and then that was it, and then they'd be a regular licensee, issued a regular license.
Was there any requirement, and I think I read through this and I didn't see it, for that person to have been actively licensed in the other state prior to applying for this opportunity to gain licensure here?
They have to be licensed in that state.
They have to be currently licensed.
Yeah.
But can you graduate from school in New Mexico this month and apply next month?
If you have a license, if you get a license in New Mexico first.
And then you gain residency here.
There's nothing worked in there, so technically I could have graduated from school a year ago, gotten my license in New Mexico, and not practiced for the whole year, and then still come here and get a license because it's in good standing and I have one. So there's no mechanism to figure out whether or not they've been actively practicing. It's just an active license.
Yeah.
Great. I just wanted a clarification on that.
This does... you know, this does in part fix one of the issues that was going to be a legislative change for next year, where people, you know, we have an 800-hour clinical hour requirement. People were coming in with 750, and we couldn't license them, right? And so this eliminates that, basically.
When does this go into effect?
August-ish.
August-ish.
Yeah, you know, it's whenever the legislature closes plus 90 days.
Beginning of August.
Yeah.
And you'll let us know when that goes into effect. We'll have another update.
Yeah, we'll know whenever the legislature closes their session. We'll know that's the last day of that, and it'll be 90 days past that whenever it is.
Yeah. It just strikes me that we've had this year, even maybe it was last year, since we're so new into the year, licensees that had issues with this, that it might actually affect, that maybe we could get in contact with when that occurs.
Right. And it's a wonderful opportunity where places that have had hurricanes or tornadoes, disasters, gives them an opportunity to get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an excellent bill.
I remember getting a lot of calls when the volcano in Hawaii was going crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, well, we got to get out of here because you know, the air is killing me. So
exactly.
Yeah, it wouldn't help the process for them.
All right. Thank you, Director Drumensky. The next item on the agenda to review is possible action regarding future board meeting dates and times. Director Zminski?
So at the last meeting, the board decided to move the board meetings up to noon, and my recollection is that you wanted to discuss whether or not 11 o'clock would work or not at this meeting for people into the future. And I think that one board member, Williams, had a conflict for May.
Yeah, I think we decided 12 o'clock was the way we had to go.
There was
actually
more than one person at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I think we were pretty solidified on 12.
Okay.
12.
Unless anybody...
The commute was...
Yeah. 12. Yeah. Actually, the commute is pretty good for me to get here.
At 12?
Yes. Here an hour early, I can look at my stuff, it's all good.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, fantastic.
And now that I know that it changed, I'll be here on time.
I don't know.
Solemnly promise.
Yeah, we had canceled the December meeting. Was there a, did we cancel July or August?
Summer one that I thought
well,
we might
July,
have been.
July,
was it July?
I will not be here in August. So as long as there's a quorum, but Mindy won't be here in August.
Oh yeah, we had talked about, I believe board member Zimmerman won't be here in May.
Yes.
And then board member Hayden said August, and then July was the potential cancel.
I'm not done figuring out our family plans.
Okay.
So
in the November.
And I have a family reunion is my situation. So
as long as we have our quorum.
Yeah.
So as long as the two absences, you'll.
What month is that?
August.
That's August?
Yes.
I'm gone.
I'm trying to work around it, but I really have so many factors.
Was
there
a reason we were canceling July? Or was that just something?
Well, maybe we need to switch it.
Something.
Was it?
And I'm talking.
So August is actually better.
August.
Yeah.
And why don't we move that to August?
Yeah.
So we're going to keep the July 24th meeting and get rid of the August.
Okay. And then we'll have to reschedule November.
Oh, August is when I'm here. It's June and July, but I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. Well, as long as we can afford for one person to be missing.
Okay.
Not anymore.
So no June.
So yes, June.
Yes.
No August.
No August. Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
How long do we are the board meetings?
How long?
Anywhere between 1 and 3 hours. 3.5 hours.
Yeah, generally, yeah. Generally,
so
2 to 4 hours is what I set when I do my schedule for billing
you
guys.
You put 4?
You may want to also consider for May doing a teleconference. The reason for that is that there are no boardrooms available in May.
May.
So you'd have to be in the large conference room over there, which
where we
is
were before?
Mm-hmm. No. No, it's a quarter of the size of this room, maybe. So it's literally like a conference room. So it's not a
just like
4 chairs.
Phone for May.
Yeah.
Are we going to solidify that?
Yeah, I can do that right now.
So May is a teleconference. May is a teleconference. August is canceled. November, we schedule
a little bit. The chairman usually shows up for teleconferences.
That's entirely up to you.
It's up to you.
Yeah, that's not a...
Okay. Any other discussion on the meeting dates and times? Okay.
One question, I apologize, is if you... are having a teleconference in May, do you want to put some of these heavy discussion items into June?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard to do on the phone.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll do a conference mostly for approvals for applications and that sort of thing.
Perfect.
We'll keep the agenda light.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the last discussion point? Okay, fantastic. Then the next item on the agenda is the call to public on non-agenda items. Have you had any speaker requests?
I haven't. Does anybody?
Anybody want to? Oh, over there.
I had a question. I'm sorry, my name is Deborah Fisher.
And just for clarification, if there's not an item on the agenda, the board can't have any discussion or talk about it necessarily. But if it's an item, but they can direct me to put on a future agenda or to do research and give information to the board and that sort of thing. But you can say anything you want.
My name is Deborah Fisher. I'm actually a licensed massage therapist. I do work in an office with a lot of acupuncturists. I did have a question. I don't have the answer. About the battlefield acupuncture and the information that you were receiving. If I understood correct, the information you're getting in the presentation is from the VA. Is that correct?
I'll answer that. It's not actually from the VA. It's from an independent physician who works at the VA who's seeking an expansion of the scope of practice for nurses.
And by battlefield acupuncture, I was confused in that it sounded like you were assuming that battlefield acupuncture was used on an actual battlefield.
No.
So it is at the VA.
Yes.
Although I believe it actually is used.
You can get both.
Yeah.
I do understand
that. But it will be used from what this physician has said to the nursing board that I know of. I believe it's just going to be generally, they could use it, I guess, at the VA or TRICARE or anywhere.
And this is, again, just my personal curiosity, and because we see a lot of veterans. Is the battlefield, opening the battlefield acupuncture up to nurses, is that opening a door that could be much bigger than just at the VA or TriWest?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have an answer to that.
And that's had the question. I didn't think that there was an answer.
It's a good question, and this board will be agendizing this for the future, and we will be inviting professionals who teach this, who do this, to come speak to the board, to give the board more information. So keep checking the website, the newsletter, hopefully, will get up and running. And more than welcome to come, address the board at meetings where that's an open item. And
we do have veterans who have received that treatment. It's been, if you want to talk to people who have received it, who are veterans, I know that Tony can just hear the name,
you tell them that the option is available, that a discussion is being held. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please come to
it. Yeah.
Might be, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So it may go on to the June agenda. Not sure, but start checking with the June agenda and then forward from there.
Madam Chairman, Chairperson, one issue. We have an individual who's requested to give a presentation to the board about trauma and acupuncture and so on, from Tucson, who gave a brief presentation at our last board meeting in Tucson, and she had been scheduled for May. If we do that at a teleconference, it'll get pushed out to June. I might be able to talk to another agency to see if there's a scheduling something that we can do to move boardrooms around. So if possible, I'll try to get us here physically in May. But if not, we'll have to be June for that presentation.
Seems like there's not a lot of other alternatives unless we took those heavy items in May or did a presentation in May teleconference, and that's not going to work out.
No. I might be able to get a large hearing room from OA downstairs. They own those. I can't schedule them, but they might be able to let us use one of them.
Are they willing to do the presentation in June or not?
I don't know. I'll talk to them because we've already put them off 1 month.
From May to June, that I don't think there would be sufficient time. It's a very valuable presentation regarding the combination of things that they're doing with neuroplasticity. And I think we were very impressed by the presentation. Mario and I have discussed the fact that relevant and important to the board.
And do you know what their goal is when they're coming to present to us? What exactly? Is it just that they're trying to inform us?
It's actually something that Mario and I spoke to them about, the fact that we were impressed with the data that they're doing, the amazing results that they're having through combination of auricular acupuncture and other treatments.
Thank you for coming. Yes.
That it's phenomenal, and I would like very much for the board to be aware of what's going on. So they didn't specifically reach out to us, but they were very open to that idea of coming and educating us.
So it's not a time-sensitive issue that...
I think it's some time-sensitive just because I really hate to keep
pushing them off. Right.
I know we're going to be down there in October, but that's quite a long time.
That's so far.
Yeah.
And it's very timely information.
And it'll be beneficial for the board, especially since you are now considering adding trauma into the scope for regular. So very relevant.
I'll see what I can.
I hate to miss it. Can we do it June?
That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Well, oh no, we're talking about May.
That's right. Already been discussed. That they just got pushed just last week.
right.
today, so I hate to turn around and then push them again if
right.
that's not possible.
I'll see what I can do to juggle boardrooms, and if I can, I'll get us into physically here next month.
Oh, well.
We'll have okay. the recording available.
I'll listen to it.
I'm sure they have experience too.
Please, if they pass out materials, mm-hmm. I would appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Susan, for that information.
Sure.
That's great.
Yeah. I might enjoy going and
all right, so call to the
yes.
public completed. Now, we now are going to discuss items to be placed on a future meeting agenda, which we had quite a few. Anybody have anything to add to that?
Yeah, what are we doing with the modern acupuncture? That keeps getting push. Are we waiting for this other thing to go through?
That was the definition of acupuncture.
Yeah, I think what it is we got informed that we are more reactive than proactive. So making a substantive policy statement is really the only thing we can do unless we're reacting to a complaint.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. So with that, are they aware that they're not to do what?
So it not in effect. Well, not really in effect yet. Anything that comes in now would be a complaint. So you'd have to hear it that way. And it's a complaint prior to the substantive policy statement. It's been adopted by the board today.
Mm-hmm.
David's going to have to file it with the Secretary of State, and then it's going to have to be posted to the website, and then you can notify them that the policy is up.
Okay, so we're just waiting for that.
So once it's posted to the website, we have every intention of informing them of
right.
the statement.
And they knew that we were having the discussion at this meeting.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good communication.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. Dun, dun, dun. What do we do now? All right, the next item on the agenda is review and discussion of possible adjournment.
Possible. Need to stay here for
can I get a motion to adjourn? All
right.
Motion from Board Member Williams, seconded by Board Member Hayden. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Unanimous. We are adjourned.
Thank you.